Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I have said on this podcast and in my radio interviews several times now that the Sabres have indicated that they do not want to trade J.J. Paterka. Their answer has changed. They are at least now listening on it. And I think that's recent. I think it's the reality of the situation. People know Paterka's unhappy, and it's believed he would like to go somewhere else. And I just think that reality is sinking in a bit. I think the Sabres realize they have to at least look into it. And I think in the last little bit, it's gone from we don't want to do it and we're not doing it to we don't want to do it, but we at least have to look into it. I think it's kind of, if you're serious, offer us something serious and we'll look at it.
Elliot Friedman, welcome to mid to late June. It's the time of year where the Sabres have to maybe confront players wanting to go. So, J.J. Paterka. Nothing probably happens until the final is over, which game six in that series is going to be tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida can win the cup, and then we're to the offseason. The draft comes up kind of quick. That's one thing about the NHL. The season ends, and the draft is a couple days later. So,
yeah,
we could see Paterka gone in, a week, Joe? The draft is in 11 days. Round one.
It really, I mean, that day, maybe? Him getting out of the draft without... I don't know. It depends how much the Sabres want to treat this situation differently than they've treated other situations similarly in the past. And it's been a minute, right? Like, when's the last time a star player... If Paterka, graduating him to a star player might be a little...
But he's a very good young player.
Very player. Someone you might project will be... Like, he'll make an all-star team
at some point. His point totals for his career, 32, 50, 68. Like, right. You go ahead and chart that up. No, does he...
Arrows up.
Does he level off at... It's 68 points in 77 games. You know, He might not be a perfect player, but... He's a good young player. He's an exciting player. He's J.J. the Turkey in our house, and that will be a sad day if J.J. the Turkey is not on the Sabres. But I told you back in November that I had heard Paterka might not be a long-term guy. He might not be one of their guys. And I think that was because they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
That he's not happy here. He wants to leave. And yesterday I saw a lot of the reaction online. If you want to give us yours, 803-0550. I saw a lot of the reaction that was, Listen, should I get out the flow chart? We've done this 1,000 times. Player is unhappy. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about this player. He's not even that good. Who does he think he is? He's on some loser team. And round we go.
Yep.
And for, I think, a good chunk of the fan base, a lot of the fans, they are done blaming any player for that feeling. Because the thing I would say about it, Paterka, he doesn't have some sort of Reinhardt situation where they don't value him and didn't feel like paying him or extending him. My guess is the Sabres would.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have an Eichel situation where he signs an 8-year extension. He's the captain. He gets blamed for everything that goes wrong. He has a medical dispute with the team. Like, there's no publicly bad blood. Nope. This is just guy you drafted and developed well, wants to take control of his own career and say, I don't want to sign here long term. And he has the power to sign an offer sheet if he wants to. Mm-hmm. He can tell the team, like, I just don't want to do this. Thanks. This has been great, but I'd like to get out of here. I don't want to be here. And, you know, you could get mad at a player, or you could do the kind of thing where you say, like, what if that was you? What if that's you or me?
Right.
You get drafted to a team that you don't pick, mm-hmm. and if you come here, you might think, I'm not going to win there. I'm going to be stuck out of the playoffs. And one of the reasons you might think that is because the guy that you watch the GM stay for a long time and keep missing and think, why would I think this is a place where I can get to the level of the games I'm watching this week?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I ever think it would happen here? You've got some players that will sign up for it for 6 and 7 and 8 year deals, and you'd have some that would say, like, no thanks.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if fans will take into account that he really hasn't been here very long. This is not Thompson or Dahlin wanting out in a similar way that Eichel and Reinhardt were, like, ready to go after 7 years of this, 8 years of this.
Quicker timeline.
Paterka's been here for three years, and he's ready to hit the ejector seat. And if he's felt something along those lines for, like, this didn't just arrive on him now, like, this is a feeling that he's had maybe for a little bit, then that could lead you to, well, I wonder if it's more about the city than it is more about the team, if that's a part of this. Because then that is a little different, I think, than, like, Eichel and Reinhardt, when they want out, I never took that as anything to do with not wanting to be in Buffalo. I took that as they just were sick of losing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what Paterka's problem is.
He might just not like the area and not like the city.
Right.
He might want a different life.
Right. And the other difference between Paterka and those guys, maybe not Eichel, because Eichel had a lot of years left on that contract, but Reinhardt was going to be a UFA in 12 months, right? Paterka cannot become an unrestricted free agency until July 1st of 2029. Like, the Sabres have
control
of him for a long time. So for him to be willing to make it tense at all, I think would show you how much he really would want to go, right? Like, because he would have that conversation with his agent. It's like, if we go down this road, like, this could be tough. This could be uncomfortable for a while because you're not coming up on free agency. You're 23. You got a long way to go until you can get to that, or before you can even use that as a bit of leverage. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how the fans will react to him wanting out versus those former stories of this wanting out, and how much the Sabres will want to play hardball, because they've played hardball in the past with Jack, and do they regret it?
It's a good question. Like, what do they feel? Do they feel there's
it made it ugly
a reputation point here, a reputation piece? And while Paterka is the latest, I mean, he's certainly not the first, as you just laid out,
right?
And he probably won't be the last. There was the reporting again that got from Paul Bissonnette, and he walked it back because that was from Friedman, that Dahlin went in there to talk to them about what the plan was when they make the Cousins trade.
Yep.
And that was kind of smoothed over. No, he's not saying he wants to leave. You've got Alex Tuch, face of the rebuild under Kevin Adams, saying, I haven't talked about it with my wife yet, about the idea of an extension. Like, if Tuck wants to go, and it's, to me, like, the whole thing about Kevin Adams' time here, I mean, he's made some nice trades. Like, Brian Koziel came on and said, I've liked some of the trades. Really, it might be the inaction that's a problem. But you've got Paterka and Byram and the ninth pick and some prospects that you could try to turn into something and try to move forward. And we already know Kevin Adams is going to keep the job. But to me, the one of the biggest, you know, zoom out problems here is that when he got the job and then traded Jack, it was guys that want to be here. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, whether it's a privilege or an honor to wear a Buffalo Sabres uniform and all this. Like, the Sabres kind of talked a big game and sent out a guy that didn't want to be here anymore. And you start to look at the context then, it's like, well, that's because the team loses all the time. The team doesn't the team doesn't seem to have a whole handle on building towards a winner. And it's all about these picks and prospects. And finally, one of the best picks slash prospects you've had makes it to this moment and says, like, oh, I want out too. I don't want to be here. So, man, what are you supposed to do if you're Kevin Adams? You supposed to play hardball? I don't think so.
Because what is hardball is just what? Like,
we're not going to trade you.
Hey,
here's a qualifying offer. If you won't take a bigger deal, here's a qualifying offer.
Right. Like, or like, hey, okay, you don't want to sign a long-term deal here. Here's a two-year deal. Like, come play. Like, hey, we did. We did on your behalf because, like, out of respect for you, we listened. We listened to teams, and they were all trying to lowball us because they think that we have to move you. You have 4 years of contract left. You know, get in the locker room, sign your two-year deal, and come play. We're not going to make you sign an eight-year contract. Like, that's what hardball to me would be, is you're 23, you just got here. Like, you're a good player, but you just got here. We're not letting you go yet. So what do you want to do? You want to go play in Germany? Like, well, you want to go down that route? Like, how bad do you want to make this? They could try to put the ball back in his court and really test him. But I even wonder, is he good enough to warrant that? Because he's a very good player. I remember thinking when all the surgery stuff with Eichel was going down, just bring him back. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward. Obviously, it had gone down a road where they all felt like that was impossible. But I thought, just put him on the ice. He's got 5 years of contract left. He's not going to retire. Let him have – that one was different, though, because it was, for me, let him have his surgery.
Right.
Let him have his surgery, and then what? Because that was being used as the catalyst for him to get out of there.
Even though he'd asked for a trade before that. But still.
Right. Like, but get rid of the catalyst. Make it more direct. Do you want to actually – you're going to leave, or you're going to let you get the surgery, and then you're going to say after that, no, I'm still never playing for you again. Or are you going to come back on the ice for us? Because then, like, that's a superstar player. I wanted to explore all avenues to him remaining in Buffalo. Paterka is really good. I don't know that I would have the same attitude of, though, like, I can't let this guy go at all, at any cost.
Well, the fly in the ointment about playing hardball is an offer sheet. He can sign with another team. And you have to make the decision then, are we going to give him the contract that this team just signed him to, or are we going to take the compensation?
Because then you have him.
You have him.
You have him, but he's...
You could try to trade him.
You know he's not happy with that.
Right.
And, man, what is that like? What happens? You could do it and then, like, think, well, we're gonna trade him eventually. But imagine you do that. Like, Paterka signs a seven-year deal or a six-year deal with the New York Rangers or whoever, and then the Sabres match it. Like, all right, well, what do we have here now? Now we have you for 7 years, and we have you under contract, and we know you don't want to be here.
Well,
I mean, that's not a great environment, but...
No, that's not. It's definitely not a great environment, and it's not... I mean, it's not something the Sabres would want to do. Again, you don't want guys that are not... Not like they're not on board.
It's not like it's never happened, though. Like, Jonathan Drouin once wrote a letter to the Tampa Bay Lightning saying, I will never play for you again, and then he played for them again. And he was like 20. He was like 20 when that happened. And then he ended up coming back and had at least one good season, I think, with them after that happened. So there's some precedent for it, but, I mean, you know, they're also not the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No, that's right.
The Sabres are not the Tampa Bay Lightning, if I need that to be said.
My indication is that the Lightning are going to be one of the teams that are in the mix on the Paterka sweepstakes. So what that looks like, how they pull it off, I don't know what vets would be going back the other way. But if you're Buffalo and you want help now, maybe Tampa's one of those teams that can solve for that need for you.
That is Frank Saravalli on Daily Faceoff. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. Owen Parker as well. I almost said Owen Power. That's going to happen. Anyways, Tampa. All right. Let's play the game. We want to trade him to Tampa. That's for Paterka, right? They want Paterka. All right. Look at Tampa's salary. Tampa has got so many expensive players on their roster. Kucherov 9.5, Point 9.5, Gensel 9, Hagel 6.5. I'd love Brandon Hagel. Sorali 6.25. Bjorkstrand 5.4. I mean, this is what's tough. Like, it's got to be a hockey trade. I don't want to pick some prospects. And this is probably what Kevin Adams is dealing with right now is, okay, you want my really talented forward? Well, I want a really talented forward in exchange. So what can we do here? That's where I almost wonder the trades that make the most sense right now would be you swap Paterka for a defenseman, because that's probably an easier trade to make than finding a team that wants to go forward for forward. But then you're going to want a forward, so you trade Byram for a forward. You go Paterka for a defenseman, and you go Byram for a forward. And then you kind of combine the two together and look at it at the end and see how that looks. So, who do I pick from Tampa? Eric Cernak? That's not enough. I don't know. It's tough. Maybe Tampa's not good for this. I'm looking around their roster, and their players are either too good or Hagel. They wouldn't do that, though, right? Would Tampa do Brendan? Bring it full circle. The guy that was once drafted by the Sabres and, you know, they let walk for nothing. Thanks, Jason Botterill. Hagel goes to Chicago, becomes a really good player, and then they're not doing that.
How would Hagel feel about that?
Coming back here? He has no trade protection. That's the only reason I'm even inciting his name in this. Because I can't find another player that really... I can't really find another player that makes sense for this. If Tampa wants him, can I get Hagel for Paterka? And is Paterka in the 9th overall pick too much for him? Can I do that? 90 points last year. He's older, 26. He's better defensively. He's had Selke votes 3 years in a row. You can't get him, right? I'm only even bringing him up because he can't say no. So there's that. This is the life we live with this hockey team. To talk about a guy in a trade, you have to look and see, can they say no to you?
That's a tough spot to be.
It's brutal.
It sucks. I get so frustrated because I get so excited because I love this team so much despite all of its pain. And every time I'm thinking about an idea, I get all excited, and I'm like, it's just not.
Right.
Nothing feels realistic. And that sucks as a fan of the team, because you want to think that your team can do something cool and exciting, and I think they can.
Yeah.
But it's just been so many years of this sort of pain, where you're almost just ready for nothing to work out. And it's so tough.
What you really need is them to have their Mario Williams moment.
Right.
The Mario Williams moment is the Bills are in the drought and they are a joke. They are not. They're hardly an NFL franchise, right? They can't get coaches to come there. They have to hire Chan Gailey, who hadn't even been a coordinator the year before. And they signed the number one free agent in free agency. Now, credit to Ralph Wilson. Ralph Wilson was ready to pay him more money than any defensive player ever.
Right.
To get him to come here. And I don't know if the Sabres would do that for a player with Terry Pegula right now. Maybe they would. But that's what I'm waiting for. I'm like, can you just shock us once and bring in... They did kind of do it with Taylor Hall. They shocked me then, but it just you know, just didn't work.
It just didn't work. Yeah, it doesn't hold the same weight when it goes so poorly.
Anyways, I got some good answers on from people on Twitter of when they checked out or what it would take for them to check out on this team, but we got a call on this first. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo. Josh, if you could pull him up for me. Josh, or Dave in Buffalo. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think you've raised an interesting point, but to me that I think what Kevin Adams needs to do is not trade for a great performer, not trade for some guy who's, you know, a minor Tate Thompson or whatever. What he needs to trade for is someone who can lead. That is one thing I think that the Sabres are really missing. Brandon Bean has done a good job with the Bills because he's really been able to embody leadership working with McDermott. So everybody eats, you know, is a short form mantra. And that really defined the team and how they performed and helped make Josh the MVP because he put the ball up and he threw it around and did certain things. If the Bills can, or if the Sabres can really trade for someone who comes to this team and says that the important thing here is accountability, not just accountability to myself, but we need to be accountable to each other. So the thing that will define whether I'm a success here or not is not how I perform, but whether the team performs around me. It's going to be the thing that the Sabres really need. So what I'm looking for is a good storyteller, someone who can really lead this team, and that I think will make the difference.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for the call. That's the one thing, though, that I do kind of feel like they've tried. You know, like, think of the things that they've done that have failed during this playoff drought. And one of them is not what Dave's mentioning here about leadership, is what we were just talking about the big ticket free agent. I mean, they tried that. They signed Taylor Hall. It was only a one-year deal, and it was horrible. Didn't come close to working. Scored two goals. Really, you could point to Okposo a little bit for that, too, because he was the number one free agent after Stamkos signed, and that didn't work. So they've done that, and it hasn't worked. I do feel like they've tried what Dave's talking about. They have brought in veteran leaders, storytellers, guys that can show the young guys the way. The problem has always been that those players weren't good enough to kind of earn that respect, if you will. I'm thinking of Brian Gionta a little bit for this, who was just at the end of his career, and he was still a player, like he was worthy of being on an NHL roster, but the leader of your team, I still would like that to see that be a guy that's at the top of their roster, top of their lineup guy. And I don't know. What are they going to do? Do you want them to go bring Jonathan Toews out of retirement? Because he's coming back. You want him to go sign Patrick Kane? You want to fire that conversation back up for the 9,000th time? Because he's about to be a free agent. Just I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it. Guy's going to go play 9 minutes on my fourth line. So I'm not saying you're wrong in that they couldn't use some help on that front, but I guess I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I'd like to see it kind of result in more for the teammates, but Dahlin, I think, talks the talk, and he walks the walk himself. But, you know, what is true leadership? True leadership is not just getting yourself to do the right things. It's getting everybody around you to do the right things, too. And, hey, that might be tough. That might be tough for anybody. Nobody would say that Kyle Okposo wasn't a great leader, but did anybody feel like they were doing the right things around him? There was some immaturity with both of the cores, if you want. The Eichel Reinhardt core before that Okposo was like the leader in the locker room of, and then this most recent one. And I'm talking about, like, you know, habits and on the ice stuff, let alone, you know, revolting against the fans because they booed you when you were probably down 5-0 to the Blue Jackets. Because that happened when he was the leader of the locker room too. So, you know, It's nice to hear, or it's a nice idea, but I don't know how in practice it actually makes a big enough impact that we're talking about the culture changing here. The culture changing is going to have to be the playoffs, and it's going to have to be winning. But What's going to happen first? They're going to get smart and they're going to make a couple of savvy moves, or they're just going to get lucky and get in and ride that wave. Because one of those two things has to happen here. Now, some of the answers we've had on when you checked out, there's a couple of popular answers from what I'm seeing. Thank you to everybody that's participating, by the way, at Sneaky Joe Sports. You can tweet in your answer to this or call in 803-0550. You prefer that. During the losing streak with Ralph Krueger or during the losing streak last year, makes total sense. Long, lengthy losing streaks. He had an 18-game losing streak. Unbelievable, right? 18-game losing streak 5 years ago, and then a 13-game losing streak last year. Easy spot to check out. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Last year against Montreal, when Terry Pegula flies to Montreal to tell them that he believes the answer's in this room, and then they go out and they get smoked by Montreal. That was a tough 24 hours.
My friend was at that game as a Sabres fan in Montreal. Yeah, he said he left by the second
traveled
period.
There? Like he doesn't live there?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted, jeez, he like had it marked. He wanted to go to Montreal, and he also planned it around a Sabres game.
Yep.
And he left by like halfway through the second period.
How bad does it have to be if you travel to a Sabre or to a game for your team, whoever it is, and you don't stay to the end? It's got to be a bad, bad night.
That happened to me in Nashville when I went a couple years ago. It was Bowen Byram's first game. They were down 4-1, and me and my buddies were like, all right,
yep,
let's go.
Couple people have said they checked out after the Eichel trade, that like they're going through a long rebuild here, and I'm not here for it. That's an answer. When Eichel won the cup is an answer that somebody tweeted in. I wonder what the most popular... A lot of this is Krueger. During Krueger is... You know, that's the one that I kind of empathize with the most, because that was torture to watch him try to coach that hockey team. Torture. When they traded O'Reilly away... I mean, this is the thing. It's so many years of this that you could... Everyone's going to have a different moment that it's going to happen. And that's where I really am worried about the idea of Tuck leaving. Because if Alex Tuck doesn't re-sign with them and doesn't believe in this thing, then one, I'm going to want to know why. If it's not just that you've been losing, why don't you think they're going to turn it around? Does it have something to do with Adams being the GM? Does he want the team to get serious? Because my worry isn't just that Tuck would leave. My worry about Tuck leaving is who follows in his wake. What are Tage Thompson? It's mostly about Tage and Dahlin. That's really what it is. I feel like I'm holding my breath every day with this hockey team, just praying you get through the day without seeing something that says, oh, Dahlin and Tage, this could be it. When Dahlin, the Bissonnette story came out last year where Paul Bissonnette said that Dahlin met with the team and said that if we don't get this turnaround now, I'm going to want out. Something along those lines, Bissonnette said. I feel like I'd been holding my breath and I went, all right, here we go. Here we go again. And then, you know, luckily that seemed to have been vastly exaggerated. Friedman said that it came from him, whatever. So you got through that. And right now we sit where Dahlin and Tage Thompson sound committed as they can be, and they're under contract for a long time, but I feel like I'm holding my breath. I think this is a big year. I know they all kind of look the same. All these seasons kind of feel the same during the playoff drought, but I think to avoid another one of these, you know, light the whole thing on fire phases, you gotta have a season here. You can't be 75 points out of the playoffs by January. I think this has to be a year. I don't even know if they have to make it, but it's not. It's about the fans and it's about the players in that room, because the players in that room are feeling what the fans do. That's why I never criticized Ryan O'Reilly for saying what he did. The bunch of fans that have tweeted back at me that, yeah, I checked out when right around that time. Well, okay, like, you got a guy on the team that was feeling that way. He didn't check out on the ice, but mentally he certainly had gone through it losing that much. I'll empathize with that because we're going through the same thing. So if Alex Tuch is fed up with it and he's got the power to get out of it, I understand it. But that's where, you know, what do I have to do to convince these guys that, hey, we're close, keep going. This thing doesn't need to get torn apart again. We don't need to do that. We need to add to it. Nobody needs to tear it apart again. So you don't need to go. We're going to add around you. You don't need to go. For that to stay together, do they just have to be close? I think that might be all it takes. Just a confirmation that, hey, we're almost there. Do this a little different. That's because if you're at 72, 75 points, you can't make that argument. You sound silly trying to make that argument. 803-0550 is the phone number. One tweet that just came in is way back when they let Drury and Briere walk in the same offseason is when they checked out.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal. Nice move. Goes to the net. Scores! Here's Loskarinen. Loskarinen. Back out. Jump back and shot. Score! Carter Verhaeghe turns. Shoot. Knocked down by Skinner. Puck is loose. Score! Sent towards the net by Barkov. Reinhardt. They have gotten a piece of it. The Panthers now lead 3-0. Verhaeghe back to Barkov. To the empty net. Score! It's a hat trick. Sam Reinhardt. Pucks it down towards the empty net. And Reinhardt with his fourth. Panther perfection. the Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Does this song have a name? Just like, hey, it happened again or something?
This is back to back.
Oh, okay. I don't recognize it.
Hey, it happened again.
Back to back.
You know, he wasn't the first to do that last night. They're even putting the graphic up right now. Reinhardt ties for the most goals in a Stanley Cup final game ever. But he was the first to do it since 1922.
Ah.
For the Toronto St. Pats. So he basically was the first to ever do it.
Two empty netters is a little bit of a, you know.
He's out there.
Congratulations.
He's out there. I mean, he's second in the Selke voting at the end of the year.
Today's topic.
You get that.
Today's topic. Could you score an empty netter in an NHL game?
Could I score a empty netter?
Yeah, like the one that Reinhardt scored.
Okay, so not like the one Reinhardt scored is he's like battling the puck out of his own end, and while he's getting tripped, he's sliding it into the net. Like
maybe not that one.
Probably not that one.
Yeah, there are empty netters, and then there are empty netters.
Yeah, like but if I'm ahead of the pack and one of my teammates just throws it up to me, like sure, yeah, I could. I might have to goal hang a little bit to get it done. But yeah, I could.
Back to back. I was checking some numbers for you, if you want to take this in. This is not going to be the stat of the day. We do have a stat of the day. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It is 1,088 days since the Stanley Cup was hoisted, and a Sabres fan didn't have to say, ugh. 1,088 days. That's Colorado Avalanche. And maybe you were mad about JT Compher getting it that year. So go back further if you want.
Yeah,
you might have to work a little hard for that. Then it's Bogosian before that, and then it's O'Reilly before that.
Yep.
So whatever. What's to say that hasn't been said about all that? Any?
You know, it's less that because what have we said? We've said it's further confirmation that it wasn't about the good players, right? That it was more about they just stunk at supporting them.
They didn't know what good players were.
No idea.
Jason Bottrell, the guy is a GM in the NHL right now. The guy that really destroyed this franchise has a job, which is kind of amazing.
Right.
I mean, the GM that maybe he didn't make all the decisions, but the guy that really did all the damage is Jason Bottrell. And Kevin Adams has had some trouble, obviously, and has not done the best job cleaning it up. But the guy that really did it all was Bottrell.
Yep, that's right. And the guy that brought them all in, right? Like,
is not a guy in the league anymore.
No, he doesn't. He has not worked in the league since, and I can't imagine he ever would again. But Murray built a core group of players that were going to win Stanley Cups if you had just put the right pieces around them. But he thought that Rasmus Ristolainen, Zach Bogosian, and Josh Georges were the pieces on the blue line to do that with. Right? Those are the guys.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that played 20-plus minutes a night, and your goalies got hurt, and you made poor decisions with coach. So I think Bottrell did it worse, but, you know, like, these guys are surrounded by really good teams that allow them to be stars. That goal, I mean, Reinhardt scores that first goal. I don't think he needed a teammate for that one. He could have gone.
That was pretty nice.
That was just himself stealing the puck, going around guys. Like, that's just a great individual effort. But, I mean, he's on a team that allows him to get to this moment. And the Sabres just didn't even come close. I tweeted this out last night. The 2016-17 Buffalo Sabres finished with 78 points, and they have a combined 11 Stanley Cup rings since they left.
It's a lot.
11.
11. How many of those
I'm double counting. Some Florida? Of those are Rodriguez, and like last night I'm giving them three because Reinhardt, Rodriguez, and Kulikov are all on that team.
But Kulikov is maybe a stretch. Montour's on the team last year, not this year, right?
Right. Yeah, he's not on this year, but...
Well, anyway, like I said, what's to be said that hasn't been said? It feels like in the moment of a game like last night, you know, Reinhardt scored a beautiful goal, one off his foot, and two empty netters. So there are four-goal performances, and then there are four-goal performances. But what's to be said? Because if you went to bed and, you know, you don't really care, that's fine. If you watched, maybe you're someone that likes to do this where the game ends or Reinhardt scores his fourth, and you're like, man, I'm going to see who makes the absolute most devastating comment on Twitter about this. Who's going to win Twitter? That's what a moment like last night is. Which Sabres tweeter, content creator, who's going to win Twitter tonight? And there are a couple that I enjoyed. I mean, there's rehashing the Reinhardt trade, and did they get enough? Because they got a first and a prospect. That's Jiří Kulík and Devon Levi. There's Eichel and Reinhardt on the bike. There's, you know, I don't know. Like, who I don't know, maybe we should award this. Who won last night? Who won Twitter last night as a Sabres content creator that seized the moment? I mean, I used to definitely be someone that did this all the time. I just, yeah, what's to be said that's not been said about this situation, about where they are? About where they are, and more importantly, where they were.
Well, right, like, because this is more of like a hypothetical, like a what if game that it's probably not that realistic. But last night, I was thinking a lot about in the past. It's been more like what I just kind of went through, like how those teams were so bad, what was around them, whatever. Yesterday was more for me. Man, can you imagine what if they had somehow been able to hold it together for just a couple more years? What if they were able to keep those guys together for a couple more years and everything else is the same?
Would they have kind of grown up 1 year, 2 years later?
Yeah, because they're in their supporting cast, did it not show up right after they left? The supporting cast, Eichel and Reinhardt specifically, the supporting cast that they needed around them to win, 2 years later, it was almost in the playoffs without them, right? And you don't have Tuck if you do that, right? But isn't that the only like key piece you don't have if you're not making these trades?
Tage, Dahlin, Oposo.
Right, like Dahlin grows into his own and wondering what they would have been if Granato was the coach. And maybe they're doing the same style. And, okay, Cousins has a big year. And Tage moves to center, but he's playing second-line center, so he's still a producer. And kind of they all do grow into it under Granato. But the difference is I've got Eichel and Reinhardt still at the top. I was thinking a lot about that last night because I'm thinking, like, that's a team that you could still be looking at as a perennial playoff team. If you would have got in that first time probably, if everything else is the same and you have those two at the top. So, again, probably unrealistic. They had already screwed it up because Reinhardt was on a bridge deal. You couldn't keep it together.
Yep.
So, you could have played nice maybe with Eichel and in a different circumstance. Maybe you could have played hardball. It doesn't seem tenable, but that was my thought last night that I don't think I've heard said. Like, what would it have looked like if they somehow kept it together a little bit longer?
What am I thinking watching last night? I'm thinking about Reinhardt as a five-time 20-goal scorer going for a first-rounder and a prospect. And that was in part because there's uncertainty about whether or not he would sign wherever you traded him. Right, the offers, let's be real, the offers, there might have been five teams making an offer because they thought, we'll re-sign that guy. And other teams would have said, we're not sure if we can. Florida takes the risk, Florida makes the deal, Florida re-signs him. So,
remember, he played out that final year of his contract, too, I think.
Yeah.
And then he ended up re-signing.
Did he re-sign during the season?
Good question. I'm not sure about that part of it. Let me look. Might have been after.
I was gonna say he did not get to unrestricted free agency though.
No, he didn't. He didn't get to UFA status. I know that, but it might have been in the summer that they ended up signing him.
Yeah.
He
has just signed.
No, it was July 1st,
the very first year.
It's not the year that he
got traded there.
No, he had
July 1st of what year he signed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at a different extension. So he's traded there in 2021.
Yep.
And then on August 11th, so before he's played a game for them, he signed a three-year, $19 million a year deal. I mean, the Panthers kind of did the same thing, didn't they? Like, they didn't sign him to an eight-year deal when he showed up there. They signed him to a three-year deal.
He took three.
But they were so good, and he turned into such a good player that I think it was probably pretty easy to sign the extension after.
And three was a longer contract than the Sabres ever gave him, other than his entry-level deal. It was twos and ones, right? Twos and ones.
It was never a three for the Sabres?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, he's brutal. He signs with the Panthers for 3 years, plays that out, and then last year signed an 8-year contract. So, like, he's not going anywhere. But that might be one of the reasons, if you look back at the trade and think, wow, you got a first-round pick and a prospect. And the prospect was Levi, a seventh-round goaltender who still is not your full-time goalie, and we don't know when he will be or if that happens this year. And then the other guy's Jiří Kulík, who looks like a nice player, and this year is, you know. But it kind of drives home when I was looking at that trade that you should, of course, always be trading first-round picks for real players. Mm-hmm. Every team in the league should be trading first-round picks for real players, especially if you're good and it's the 22nd or the 25th pick. Every time you should trade that for a real player. And the Panthers, you know, they did well in that deal. The point I was starting to make there is, how many teams are in on Reinhardt? Was it 10? You know, was it 6 because of that, can we sign him? Mm-hmm. And Florida might have been willing to take the risk and then also say, like, what'd you think about 3 years, 19? And says, you know what, sure, I like it. Why not? I like what we're doing. I also saw yesterday, again, who's winning Twitter? The Sabres interviewed Bill Zito.
Yes.
They interviewed him for...
Before Botterill.
Yeah, because he worked under Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Yep.
And I saw the tweet from Pierre LeBrun. It's 2017. Hey, the Sabres have just interviewed Bill Zito. So you could say everything you want about really anything that went wrong. I might just go down to, what if they hired Bill Zito instead of Jason Botterill? I don't know that they're a Stanley Cup champion, but one guy has shown a good way to destroy a franchise, and the other has built one into a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. Now, he's got some things working for him. You want to talk about, you know, tax, income tax.
Yeah.
You want to talk about palm trees. You can do all that. But the Sabres made a hire at GM, and it was Botterill instead of Zito.
Yeah, but as we pointed out, he's not bringing in talent by spending $10 million in free agency. He's getting Forsling for nothing and Rodriguez for nothing, and he's getting Reinhardt for a late first-round pick and a prospect.
Which is basically what a GM is.
And he's making a big swing for Kachuk.
That's when you know a GM is good.
Yeah.
When you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what he's doing. So, you know, what's...
That could be...
I keep saying what's to be said as we add a few more things here and there, but like, what's to be said? Are we supposed to, you know, punish ourselves all day today? Maybe.
You're supposed to be mad at them, right? Like,
who is it?
The Sabres.
For how long? How long do I have to stay mad?
You're supposed to be mad at them until they finally turn it around.
Well,
I think they, honestly, they've earned that. They've earned the fans being angry until it's over.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But maybe that's not healthy, and that's not a good environment. The players certainly, I mean, does Paterka still hold a grudge or somebody else on the team from being booed down 9-1 to Columbus 2 years ago, which still blows my mind? But it seemed to have happened, right? Tuck talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So not healthy maybe, but it's what they have earned, I think, is... You've done something no one else has ever done in a market that cared about the sport a lot. And it's dwindling and dwindling and dwindling every year. Maybe last night is a moment to show, though, that there is still a lot of people that care, that have emotion, that have pent up anguish because, hell, that guy, a lot of people like that guy. I put a poll up last week. Do you like Sam Reinhardt? Just to compare it to how many people would say about Eichel, it was like 95% say they like Reinhardt. So, player that everybody likes, that was really good, and he's doing legendary things on another team and winning back-to-back cups.
Yep.
Like, that should make you angry. That it's not happening here. Even, you know, something half as good happening here. I don't even mind scoring 4 in a cup-clinching game, but... He has done it 2 years in a row, by the way, now. I mean, it was the game-winning goal last year, and then I don't think he ended up with the game-winning goal last night because the Oilers scored with, like, a minute left.
Yeah. Which is proof that, like, clinching goal is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I have the clinching goal. We're up, you know, 5-0.
Right.
Oh, wait.
The Oilers scored. Now it's Kachuk's.
Now it's not mine anymore. I did not have the game-winning goal. That is kind of a goofy thing. I mean, I get
how
it
works. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, 803-0550. Good morning, everyone. The Panthers win. Back-to-back champs for them. You know, the question to kind of ask there is whether or not the primary thing you feel is anger or indifference.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of the two.
I think it's one of the two for everybody.
Which is what you asked yesterday early in the show, is like, when did you check out? And yeah. I don't feel either of those things. I don't feel, I mean, of course, there's plenty of, you know, anger about how things have gone. I definitely don't feel indifference. I just feel like a level of acceptance about, and that's really it. To me, it's accepting how bad things were, and I don't know when things will get better, but mm-hmm. I do know that today is the first day towards them getting better. And someday, they'll be good again. In theory.
I was going to say.
Someday, they'll be good again.
There and are when, some days where I wonder if that's even true, or if they'll, well, they'll move there, before they're good.
There's Florida good, and then there's just, you know, like Ottawa good. Mm-hmm. They can be Ottawa good, and it would be our favorite season in 14 years, probably. So they'll be good again, and someday when they're good again, it'll start today, the day after the Cup Final. The draft is in 9 days.
Still, every time you say it,
right, the draft is in 9 days. Imagine the NFL rolls out the draft 9 days after the Super Bowl.
You know, the NHL really doesn't they don't really get the NFL strategy of like, oh, let's spread things out a little bit.
In large part because no one cares.
Yeah, I was going to say, they know that no one cares about the draft,
really. You know about like the top six players in a good year.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just like, sure, whatever. Show me the jerseys of the Moncton Wildcats and call it a day.
I'm just saying, like, you're in your 3 of 32 markets that might maybe actually care about the thing.
Yeah. Let's
throw it in the middle of July. When nothing's happened.
I find myself admiring people that can get to, I did a mock draft, and here's the Sabres. Here's who took ninth.
Was it Corey Pronman, I think, for The Athletic? I think it was him. Did a 7-round NHL mock draft.
Fake.
I'm like, it's gotta be fake. A hero.
I do some prospect
7-round mock draft.
And like those, I can't even imagine those. You got to scout 300 players to do that.
We all got drafted in Corey Pronman's 7-round. All of us. All 4 of us are going. Congratulations. Josh, Nashville, you got to be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 7-round mock. Well, the draft is in 9 days.
But what that is more for me is like we're going to get the team looking different in 9 days. Yeah. Right? Like there are trades to be made and there are guys that maybe you trade away and talk that Adams wants to do something big. I'm allowing myself to be optimistic that they're going to do something that I'm going to care about. There we go. Well, I don't even know that I'll like it. I just know that I just feel like, I'm willing to believe right now they're going to do something that I legitimately care about. Something that outranks, you know, what was their biggest move last year? The McLeod trade?
Yep.
I think whatever they do this year, I think will outrank the Ryan McLeod trade.
Well, are J.J. Paterka and Bo Byram better potential trade pieces than Matthew Savoy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. The answer is yes. So,
you have a GM that maybe, I don't know, is desperate the wrong word for it?
No, he should be desperate.
He should be desperate. Don't you kind of feel like he maybe is acting more desperate? Like, he was not doing that for a while, but I don't know if you call trading Cousins desperation. It's more willingness to part with pieces that, you know, maybe people think you're in love with, and that you can't part with. I love Dylan Cousins, can't part with him. Like, they did that. So what would that be? Would that be Benson? Would that be, I mean, that we talked about Paterka.
The Cousins trade's a good one because wasn't the Cousins trade just some version of, like, they didn't trade him at his peak. They didn't trade him when things were going well. They traded Cousins as this seems to get worse by the day. The guy is in a bad spot. We got to do something for him, for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working. It was another one of these breakups.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, think about Florida. Florida always gets so much credit for trading Huberto for Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Huberto was not, oh, wow, this is falling apart. We need to find a way to do something different because...
No, he had 110 points the year before.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's, wow, holy cow. You know what? We've got a deal we think makes us better. We're going to be aggressive. Let's go. Go. Go do it. Trade a 110-point player.
Mm-hmm.
And win the trade. Versus the Sabres, who, what did Dylan Cousins do last year?
Nothing.
Nothing. Without trying to... I'm not taking a shot at him. He looked like the saddest hockey player on earth. And it's just like, this can't get worse. It was, he did well under Granato, mm-hmm. started to go south. Hey, Lindy's going to be the guy that resurrects his game. Just like, nope. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's call it. That's a guy they extended for 7 years.
Yeah.
And how early into the extension did they call it when it's bad? So
right.
The whole thing is, to me, whatever. Not to say you don't deserve credit for that, but you asked if like that's a desperation trade. It might be a throw your hands up, try something different trade. And who'd they get in return? They got Josh Norris, who we haven't seen.
Here's your daily reminder that Josh Norris is on the Buffalo Sabres.
Your daily reminder that the highest paid forward on the Sabres.
Right. And he's penciled in as their number one center right now. Which, people forget he's on the team.
Not for nothing. That should be viewed as you want the team to look different next year. Like it already will.
Right. He's going to be their number one center.
That guy's
the
on the team.
Yeah.
And if they make a big swing for Elias Pettersson still, which I guess could happen, or I can't even, like, we'll start
Robertson.
To get, sure, Jason. What do they just trade for Jason Robertson and they have all of a sudden Josh Norris and Jason Robertson? And you're looking at those two in your top six. And
Byram's traded away for something.
Samuelson's bought out. Like, there's. The path is not an impossible path to walk. In fact, teams walk it all the time.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Could I offer up
26 years?
This is the kind of thing that lifelong Buffalo fans have to answer this question, because I can't, because I am not a lifelong Buffalo fan. I was not rooting for the Bills during the 90s. You're not old enough.
Nope.
Okay, so question for 90s Bills fans and anybody that's been through it, because I know we want them to win a Super Bowl, and they might this year. That'd be pretty great. Whenever I see these miserable sports cities indexes, which this is the time of year, right?
Yeah.
A month before training camp, you're going to get every list you can. And I see Buffalo as like the third most miserable fan base. I think, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all right now. And I know we're, you know, the Sabres are there. But
sure. Like for them, you know.
Is anyone else?
Number one.
I guess I can't even say is anyone else. Because again, I don't have the context of the 90s losses there. But you're someone that's lived through it. If you're in the chat, if you want to call us, whatever. Does anybody feel a little less of it now because life is good? Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are good. Life is good. it doesn't undo it. You'd love to have a Super Bowl. You want to win one. Maybe winning one kind of removes the Bills from having their identity be when a team loses back-to-back championships. It's, oh, you're on your way to being the Bills, halfway to being the Bills. Am I nuts? I just feel like even if I had gone through that, I do not consider this a miserable sports city really at all. We're mad at the Sabres.
Yep.
With good reason.
Yep.
But past that, I do not think this place is a miserable sports town of people that say, woe is me. I know that there are some.
No, I mean,
but life is so good right now if you're a Bills fan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you get as much, obviously, as you used to of an assumption that everything is going to go wrong, right? Like, there's more of a belief, I think, in what they're doing now and Allen, that is the belief enough that people still believe they're going to win it someday? Like, a confidence that one of these years he's going to get the job done for them? Because, like, what the Bills more so were during the drought was, you know, oh, they're 3-0. You watch. 3-0, but you just wait. They're the Bills.
Everything was fake.
Everything was fake. Everything's going to go wrong because that's just how it goes. That's Buffalo. It's Billsy, right? I think they've shed that. Maybe there are still people out there that just don't really call us or tweet at us like this that are just expecting, like, oh, yeah, all this is just to lose the Chiefs again.
Yeah, but even
like,
that isn't that just...
I don't hear that guy as much as I did, nearly as much as I used to. That's so like, I feel like the fan base is pretty optimistic and pretty positive on the football side.
Doesn't that guy have 1 week out of 52 a year where he can pop off?
Right.
The rest of the time, and maybe it's like a month because you got to get over these AFC Championship game losses and divisional round losses. So maybe it's a month.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the offseason and it's just like, all right, well, restock and reload and go with Josh Allen. Like this is your life.
Right.
And it's not about, oh man, here we go. Here comes the season. It's going to be. Again, the hockey team's there, but
right.
But a lot of towns.
But
have,
it doesn't overvalue. It doesn't over. You compensate for how good the Bills make people feel.
Well,
I think
that's just a normal life, a normal sports city life. Like, name a city,
Miami.
Miami. How's Miami's sports life? The Dolphins are competitive.
Oh, wait, are we counting the Panthers though?
The Panthers won. No,
right.
But this is part of my point. Normal sports existence is some of your teams are good and some of your teams aren't.
Right.
That's normal.
Right. Like if you're a Panthers and a Dolphins fan, I know the Dolphins aren't maybe as bad as the Sabres are, but you're in love with your hockey team right now and you probably hate your football team or you're mad at your football
team. They make the playoffs.
That's why I mean it's at least better than the Sabres, but you got to be mad at them.
Sure.
I mean,
let's go to Cleveland. How's Cleveland?
Oh,
well,
furious.
The Browns are a mess. The Cavs had an amazing season.
Right.
It's normal to have some ups and downs. We did have concurrent droughts with the Sabres and Bills where nobody was good and nobody. And to me, that was a time to be kind of miserable. And the Bills broke out of it, and we've been fine since. You have one good team and one bad team. I feel like that's most of sports life. How about Detroit? Wow, look at the Lions are good. How are the Tigers? How are the Red Wings?
And that took a minute. Detroit maybe, like you just mentioned, that overlap with the Bills and Sabres droughts. Detroit, I think, had like a 5-6 year period there where everyone was terrible. But no, right? Like now the Lions are great. The Pistons are even good, and like the Red Wings kind of are average, and the Tigers are bad.
Yeah.
So like you have a couple of teams that aren't that good, and a couple of teams that are great. Like really. Other than I mentioned, Detroit had that for a couple years. Is there even a sports city where right now everything is terrible? Everything is terrible.
I would submit one. Yes, but they don't know it yet because they're holding on for dear life.
Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the Pirates are a disaster.
The
Steelers are the posters of a cat holding onto a branch.
Yeah.
And
the Penguins are.
The Penguins are
over.
Senior citizens.
Yes.
All due respect. As I get older, approaching 50. All right, we'll get some calls on this.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a good
one.
That's tough.
Is knocking on the door.
Yeah, they're in store, I think, for maybe a tough couple years.
Jordan in Wilmington. Hey, Jordan, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's the Bills' time where we're looking for things to find wrong, like the Cook situation or Dalton Kincaid's thigh. You know, little meaningless things that no one cares about. that we want to build up hype because we used to have Stephon Diggs and we used to have all this drama. Now we don't have nothing. It's like now Cook's coming back. We're like, oh crap, we just have Josh Allen. We got the best quarterback. So it's like now hopefully this means there's going to be an upward trend for the Sabres. And I don't know. I checked out of the Sabres a couple of years ago, and I mean I'm always checking back in the beginning of the season. This year I was out quarter of the season in, and I'm always refreshed, but I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Yeah, our big fights about the Bills. What are they really? It's should they pay the awesome running back, or will they be awesome without him?
They're kind of niche debates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
More than like when people would go to war over what quarterback they wanted or whether the coach should be fired. Although we still have a little bit of that, but it was much more.
But if
I think on a daily basis, by the way, apologies to the Detroit Tigers who are in first place their division.
But the point about the fights, like it used to be the GM would say, so and so's the coach, and if you don't like it, you can get out of town. And the famous fight that the GM and we had on the radio station was about the value of drafting wide receivers a little bit earlier. That was the big fight.
Right.
It was like, what was it really about?
Is you wanted a third-round receiver.
Admit it. Right. We were arguing about a fourth-round pick, right, whether or not, you know, from a salary cap standpoint, it would be more optimal. The point is, the arguments mid-season are like, what? And to that point, we kind of just get to have a good time September through January, knowing that they're probably going to make the playoffs. And then the stress arrives. The stress arrives for last year. When did the stress show up? Baltimore. Denver's a first-round playoff matchup. It should be okay here, and they womp Denver.
Yep.
And then Baltimore, it got real. The season didn't get real in terms of what you could lose until the divisional round.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a sign of that confidence and that optimism? I think you could actually look at that Denver game. That Denver game... They score on their first drive a long touchdown to Troy Franklin. Were you nervous?
A little bit, because they never get beat over the top. Over the top again.
Okay. The Bills in the, let's see, 3 minutes left. 3 minutes left in the third quarter. The Bills have fourth down and one. There's 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Fourth and one with the ball. 13-7 is the lead. That's it.
Denver?
No, Bills. The Bills are up 6.
Against Denver.
Against Denver, yes.
Yeah.
The you're almost at the end of the third quarter. You're only up 6 points. Did anybody in the world have any anxiety?
I don't even remember it.
You were a play away. You were a miracle touchdown to Ty Johnson away that Allen made. It's still one of the most incredible plays of the year.
Yeah.
You're his foot being an inch further back on the back of the end zone.
From the Broncos having the ball.
Turnover on downs. Broncos have the ball with 1 quarter to play, down 6. Nobody in the stadium was nervous at all. I don't think. Maybe there were a couple out there. I had zero anxiety about that game.
Yeah.
So, but what is that? That's a playoff game. That's a good team. Just like, no, we're good. We're good here. I mean, back to the original part about the miserable point, like I just don't feel that on one side of it. And I think you kind of got to have both to some degree to label the whole city as being one of the most miserable in the U.S.
We'll see if J.J. Paterka can be linked to any more teams. Can they get to 31 teams?
Well, what do we have so far? We have...
There's a new update from Frank Saravalli.
Okay, because we have the Rangers. We have Calgary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tampa?
Yes, he included the Lightning yesterday.
Okay. Is that it?
No, there's like five more.
There's five more?
Yes. Every time Frank Saravalli tweets, he's got like three more teams.
Okay.
Which, you know, I've got no reason to believe that Frank has not been told these things. It's just a matter of, okay, we get it. The Paterka camp, I think the easiest way to kind of look through this is that the Paterka camp is quite eager to get it all out there.
Yeah.
Everybody's interested. So,
yep.
There you go. Another name. Maybe Friedman even threw a couple out there. Like, if you're an agent trying to get your player moved, you got to call multiple reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, every team is interested.
I mean, shouldn't they be to some extent? Like, is there any reason to not want him as a player? He's really good.
He is good.
He's really good. He could become even better. He's 23.
Yep.
And he has yet to really play with star line mates for a whole season. He played with Tage and Tuck for like the end of the year 2 years ago and the beginning of last year, but even that is there. Like, I think last year Cousins was the most common line mate, so maybe a team could think, if we put him on our top line, he's going to score 35 goals and put up 85 points.
And that's pretty good.
And I think that's not that far-fetched for a team to think that he could do that. And he hasn't put up so much production yet that, like, if you wanted to sign him long-term right now, you're not paying him $9, $10 million a year, unless it's an offer sheet.
Well, if you're the Sabres, you might be paying him that because you're convincing him, A, to stay, and B, you're buying up years of his unrestricted free agency where in a couple of years he might get that kind of money.
That's right. So. But the team that would trade for him right now, like if Tampa were to trade for him right now, he's not getting paid $9.5 million per year, right?
I don't think so.
You're maybe happier in this spot and we don't have as much cap space and you can throw the state tax thing in if you really need to. And it's, okay, we're going to give you eight.
Yeah.
We're going to give you 7.5 or 8. We're not making you the highest paid forward on a team that has Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Jake Guentzel, Brandon Hagel, and so on and so forth.
Trade him for Brandon Hagel. Right the wrong that is letting Brandon Hagel leave.
I mean, he has no trade protection on his contract. He also is the guy that plays for Team Canada, so maybe one for one is not something Tampa would like to do there.
Paterka plays for Team Germany. That seems like a one for one.
Okay.
All right, we're talking both are international stars.
Okay, that's true.
Anyway, NHL offseason's upon us. It's the season to get mad about trades that you don't really care about because other teams are making trades.
Yes.
Did I need Eric Halla? I have no idea. I don't even care.
Nope.
Did I need Mason Marchment? Maybe. I don't even know. I don't care. Probably. I saw him on a list for some people. Mason Marchment just got traded from the Stars to Seattle for a third and a fourth, which this is the time of year where I feel required to say this. That is literally nothing. There is no value at all to a fourth round pick. None.
Mm-mm.
And a third round pick is just the thing you put in place of a thing that doesn't have any value. Third and fourth round picks are meaningless in the NHL by all intents and purposes. This is not an NFL third round pick. You go look at the history of the Sabres third round, and you should trade your third round pick, a third and a fourth, for an NHL forward who is what? What do you know about Mason Marchment? He's mean.
He's big and he's mean and he scored 20 goals like 4 years in a row. It's 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row he scored 20 goals.
Third and a fourth.
Yeah. Well, that's really nothing. The value Dallas is getting is that they are getting his salary off their books and then they can now pay Jason Robertson.
Right, which is...
Or should be able to pay Jason
Which
Robertson.
Is part of the speculation on like what this all means for Dallas. Trade a player for nothing. Another reason that the idea of fearing the salary cap in the NHL, like somebody's going to take that player for free.
Yeah.
You can just get off from that contract. So
really, when you put it that way, future considerations trade should really never exist because like... Just sixth round pick in the NHL. It's already basically nothing.
Right.
Why do I actually have to acquire nothing? Just throw the late round pick in there, let alone, even third and a fourth. So, yeah, I did see that trade and saw that takeaway that, okay, they might have enough space now to pay everybody. And kind of a letdown because Robertson was maybe my favorite idea
the Sabres. And you think he won't move now?
I think it's probably, unless they're about to go pay everybody else, if they pay Jamie Benn to stay around because he's a free agent and he's been there forever, and if they're going to keep Duchesne around. But no, I think more likely is their star winger, no pun intended, who's still only 25 years old, they're going to give him a monster contract.
Yeah.
I think that's why you do that. Why do you trade a player that's pretty good, big and can score, and why do you trade that player off your roster for nothing? You're doing it because you're keeping Jason Robertson, not because you're keeping your old guys.
Do you want to try to guess? I mean, listen, it's a Friday, it's June, and I'm sorry for this kind of instant trivia I'm going to give you.
You're waking up and you're like, you're about to ask this question.
Uh-huh.
You're going to do this, and I'm saying, I'm going
to
do it.
It's worse than where Tony Romo went to college?
Oh, yeah. The last Sabres third-round pick to play 100 games in the NHL.
Ooh. To play 100 games 100. In the NHL?
Yeah. There's a span in here where they actually drafted this number pretty well. And your guy, Max Afinogenoff, by the way, was a third-round draft pick.
Yes, he was.
I don't want to say he played 650 games.
It's a great draft.
But the last time a third-round pick for the Sabres played 100 games in the NHL, period. Not just for them.
Okay, so it's more recent than 1999 or 97, whenever Afinogenoff got drafted. The last third-round pick. Okay.
I appreciate the music. I feel horrible for even asking this question. So let's save it for a trivia that people can play along with.
Did Nick Baptiste get to 100 games played?
He did not.
He didn't get to 100 games played?
That is a third-round pick. You've remembered a third-round pick.
That's really where I just wanted to start here. Like, remember guys that were third-round picks.
Yep.
I remember that the guy, he didn't get to 100 games. There's a referee now the Sabres drafted in the third round.
Justin Key.
Is it Key or Kea?
Justin Key? Yep.
Yeah, he's a ref. That doesn't count for 100 games?
No.
Third round pick. Was like Aleš Kotalík a third round pick?
No, I'll just give it to you.
What year? Can you give me the year?
2009. They drafted him in 2009. Just 16 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time.
A third round pick played 100 games in the NHL for the Sabres.
Not even like just for the Sabres, like for any
in the NHL. In the NHL. Yeah. 16 years ago he was drafted.
Like TJ Brennan?
Go ahead.
Braden McNabb.
It's Braden McNabb.
Oh, okay.
That's the best trivia answer I've ever.
They had a little run there where it's like Clark MacArthur, Andre Sequeira, Marc-Andre Grignani, Braden McNabb, Corey Tropp. And then fourth rounders, you've got your Marcus Foligno's a fourth round pick, Matthew Barnaby's a fourth round pick.
It's a good one.
Will Borgen, Jacob Bryson, Chris Butler. So
I mean, almost all of those guys are Darcy draft picks.
Yeah, you get some players. But why do I say it's worth nothing? It's because you could just get them for free. If you traded a fourth round pick and like, oh man, we need a fourth, you could just go get one at the draft.
Right.
We'll give you a fourth next year for a fourth now. Didn't Botchel do that once? Botchel traded down.
You can have
a third now for a fourth next year or something. He did that once.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a famous trade like in the – anyway, whatever. The NHL draft's a week from today. I don't know what we're going on. how do we get here?
Anything past – like really, I guess if you have a high second round pick, like what is that? Like
Paterka.
Is 30% to be like a full-time NHL player? Like it's a little bit more likely.
It's probably less than that.
Less.
But it's Paterka. That's Paterka's a high second round pick.
Yep, that's right.
But once you get into the third and fourth round, like especially for established NHL players,
right.
100 times out of 100, you should be making those moves. The Sabres can't fill out their roster and they're trying in free agency or whatever. Like, okay, trade 1,000 third and fourth round picks.
Well, like, okay, so should I be upset that they didn't make this trade? Like, you asked that, like, because this not a player I thought about one time since the season's ended. He's not really a star player at all, but.
Would he play on this team? Over any other individual.
You mean like would he be okay coming here? The guy that Dallas just traded to Seattle?
Sure.
Because if the answer is yes, then like, okay, I can basically for nothing have a 6'5 guy who scores 20 goals. Like, sure, I'll take that.
There is one problem though.
I don't know if he had trade protection or what. Because like that's where I kind of feel like I have to not care. Right now,
mm-hmm.
like I just have to make the playoffs and then everybody will be good. Like if I'm the Sabres, I can't live in guys who want to be here world anymore. I've got to not care about it. Is Josh Norris happy that he's in Buffalo right now? That dude has to be like every day waking up like, am I really a Buffalo Sabre right now? He's watching Reinhardt lift the Stanley Cup and his teammates go to the playoffs. He didn't have any trade protection. He just got dealt to the Sabres, and he's under contract until like 2032.
Yeah, he was in Ottawa.
Right. But like is he? I don't even know. I'm just guesstimating. Like he could be. Like I can't. What? I'm a Sabre.
Yeah.
And if I were the Sabres, just wouldn't care about it. Wouldn't care.
Right. He might be one of the reasons that they actually can be good. Is if he stays healthy, he's a good player, and we'll just wait to find out.
Marchman had 1 year left at 4.5, and he had a 10-team no trade list.
Okay, so
the Sabres
were
probably not going to be able to get him.
So Jeff Merrick wrote something about the Marchman deal to Seattle. And this is like the bigger picture because this is the thing where the Sabres are affected and there's not really much they can do about it. He wrote an important note about the Marchment Seattle deal. Jim Nill sent Marchment to another no state tax team. And he said, you don't want the rep of sending a player somewhere they don't want to go after they take less to play for you. Mm. So, hold on there. Mm-hmm. The league might think there's not a problem with the state tax imbalance. I'm inclined to think, whatever, it's fine. But here's Jeff Merrick saying that the player initially signed to play for less.
Right.
Because it was in Dallas,
right?
With a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to, I won't trade you someplace where you get hit for that. He traded him to another state where,
yeah.
And for what? For nothing.
For nothing.
I'm going to get rid of you. I'll take nothing in return and send you someplace where it's cool for you to go because we had this little arrangement on the no state tax deal. To me, if you're Gary Bettman, who... You know, nothing's ever wrong with the sport, according to him. I might not think about the state tax being a big deal. As soon as GMs are weaponizing it with each other and kind of colluding, isn't this a small level of a collusion?
It's more colluding with
the player,
though, right? Okay, more than with another.
But if you're
another
now,
team,
now I've got a handful of GMs that get to work in one space and a handful that don't get to go there, and there's an agreement.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an agreement with my players that if they take $1 million less, not only will it be the same, but I won't trade you somewhere where that ends up being less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right. I'm not going to trade you somewhere where your $4.5 million is going to get cut and 40% is going to get taken away because I decided to trade you to Toronto.
Yeah.
For instance, when
and that's the tough part.
Yeah, that's tough because there would be guys. I'm sure that not everybody, but there would be guys. Maybe this was Marchment. Where he thought I could get $5.5 million,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take 4.5 from you, and then a year later you trade him to a place where he could have got $5.5 million, and
right.
It would have been better. It's kind of like an inner web of the GMs that are in charge of those teams, I guess. If that were to be a regular thing, but am I still to believe that? This is something that would happen often.
Well,
hey, this player that Tampa signed to a good deal, they traded him to Vegas instead of to Chicago because of the contract that they signed and how Vegas doesn't have state tax and Chicago does. Because if that starts happening, like a lot, then that's a problem, I think.
The second part of this, rather, is... All right, why do so many Sabres players want out? I mean, the losing, this and that. Is there any element of it? Let's talk about this for J.G. Paterka. Here's Merrick saying that GMs and other markets know I can offer less. I can pay less mm-hmm. for the same player. Now, let's say I'm under contract. I'm Rasmus Dahlin. My contract's $11 million. You know, if I ask to be traded to one of these seven teams, I make $1 million more in addition to leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a financial incentive to leave and... Now, GMs work in that space. It's no longer...
Yeah.
I saw someone quote, I apologize, who quote tweeted it, but it was like, that Merrick tweet is the quiet part out loud, that the GMs are weaponizing it. And maybe we thought they were, but that's kind of quiet. And now it's about trades involving the state tax
yeah.
and doing right by a player. Not to send him some... Are the 10 no trade teams for a lot of these players the highest tax teams? It's a lot of Canada,
mm-hmm.
and it's Buffalo, and mm-hmm.
It's teams that are probably bad and also, like Seattle, for instance, like this guy's got a 10-team no-trade list. You know, who are the Kraken, right? Who are the Seattle Kraken? They are a new team that made the playoffs a couple years ago and didn't do much, and then they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, and they had 76 points last year. How many players on the team can you name? Like, they're not really a team flush with stars, right? Shouldn't that a team like that be on a guy's no-trade list?
Yep.
Team that's not very good, doesn't have a lot really on the roster, and everything's kind of new there. They weren't on the list. I think maybe that would be more of it, that a team like Seattle could find themselves on a lot lesser of these lists, even though they're not winning, but it's... Well, if I got to pick between a couple of teams that aren't winning, I'll leave off this team because my $4.5 million there is $4.5 million, and my $4.5 million in Columbus is going to be 2.8. You know, if yep. the difference would be that high,
right?
So I think it would be more of an impact that way. Like, because just in a hockey sense, Make every argument in the world that Seattle should have been on that guy's 10-team no-trade list.
Yeah, probably.
But they're not. Unless they were and he waived it to go there. But at that point, why weren't they on it in the first place? I don't know.
803-0550, our phone number. So there you go. Deep into third-round picks and state tax to open the show.
Yeah.
Sorry. Apologies. But the NHL offseason's here. Multiple trades now. We've seen multiple trades. And, kind of just waiting. The Paterka stuff continues to be pushed hard. His agent is clearly working.
Why would that be? Because
he wants out.
That reeks of like your exhausting avenues to get out.
Yep.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.